Morning. Welcome on this wonderful Sunday, especially to our fathers who are here today. We want to honor you, and I'm sure most of us remember our fathers, whether living or gone, on this special day. We also, as Roxanne mentioned in our prayer in the office, every day is a day to honor our Heavenly Father. So welcome to our Father's house. Happy Father's Day to everyone for their happy memories, for hard lessons lovingly given, and for the strength when we need it. Let us now worship our Heavenly Father. I do want to just touch on a couple of things on our announcements, but first and foremost, thank you to all the ladies, especially the Ombud Lady Heidi and her able helpers for a wonderful Father's Day breakfast that was served. For those of you who were here, I'm sure you enjoyed it. And for those who weren't, you missed a really good breakfast, so hopefully next year. So let's give the ladies a hand, please. Thank you very much. Announcements are in the back of the bulletin, the activities. I do want to remind the Bible study group that we did adjust the schedule. I sent an email out, so we are not meeting tomorrow night. We are meeting according to the schedule I sent out, which will be June 27th, and I'll send a reminder email out again tonight. Do want to welcome Mike today. Of course, Mike is coming in a different capacity today, but one we've enjoyed him doing before, and we very much appreciate, Mike, you stepping in and helping out today. Also, thank you to Ellen and to Heidi, who've been playing the piano while Wanda's away, and that's very much appreciated. Even though we could sit in a very quiet sanctuary, it would be missing so much more without the music. So thank you, ladies, for helping to provide that. Tuesday is a work day from 9 to noon, and extra hands, as always, are welcome. Have I missed an announcement, or is there one that I haven't made that I need to make? I think they're still working on Wednesday nights, decorating for the VBS. What time is that, Janice? Do you know?
4 to 6.
So please do if you have a chance to come and help, that's an opportunity to be able to do so. So we'll appreciate that. Okay, good. Then at this time, we're going to ask you also to fill out the ritual friendship cards in the back of your bulletin. Back the pews, rather, so that Jackie can get a good handle on attendance. But also, if there's a particular message, I know it's been said, it's in the bulletin, it's been in the newsletter, but call the church, you can call me, call Bill Showman, but call any member of the church that you know, and they'll get the message to where it needs to be, if there's any coverage that needs to be done during Reverend Chris's sabbatical. So at this time, the community comes together to serve God and worship. Our processional hymn will be in the Brown Hymnal, and today we'll be singing verse 1 and 2 of number 226, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Are you lonely and need companionship? Are you uneasy and need peace of mind? Are you stressed and need solace? Are you guilt-ridden and need cleansing? Do you have much but still feel unfulfilled? Then you have come to the right place, for this is the gate of heaven. Let us bow for the invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. We come into your presence carrying baggage, Father. We carry our fears, our concerns, our guilt, and our worries. Help us not to leave them behind at the door of the church, but to offer them up to you for healing and for lifting. For then may we be surrounded by your presence and your peace. It is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, the community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Let us be reminded as we give that God looks not only upon the gift, but also upon the giver. That God sees not only the deed, but also the motive behind the deed. Our offertory hymn will be the Brown Hymnal, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 of page 212.
So we lay these gifts on the table. We considered both the gifts and the givers, but dedicate both the offering and those who offer. We set aside as holy not only the things, but also the feathers. Amen.
Please be seated. This time the community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading will be from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 6 through 9 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. You can find that on page 163. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The word of the Lord. At this time, our sanctuary choir will be sharing the anthem At the Cross.
Christian Church of Connersville. We're going to get ready to have the pastoral prayer. So if we have any prayer requests, I do have one that was written on the back, and I think it's probably on all of our minds to pray for the people who have lost loved ones in the tragedy in Orlando this week. Yeah, Teresa. Okay. Him and the first one again. Gilbert Lehman. Okay. I'm not nearly as good at this as Reverend Chris is, so bear with me. Heidi.
Our niece that we've been praying for, who was 24 weeks pregnant, had her baby early Saturday morning. The baby's 1 pound 7 ounces. She had a pretty tough time with bleeding, but the baby is breathing on its own, and it grabbed the. She put her hand in the incubator, okay, and she's doing okay as of right now.
So that's great news.
I don't know if anybody else is going camping, but Karen's going camping this week. So I'm just praying for the campers and the counselors.
Yeah, we definitely want to remember those going to camp and those making camp happen. Any others? All right, let's take a moment of silence as we begin to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Father's Day, this opportunity to celebrate fatherhood, to remember, to rejoice, to express our gratitude to our fathers and to you, who are our Heavenly Father. Lord, we know you look down on your children and you see us in disarray. You see us angry with one another. You see us doing horrible things to one another. Lord, we don't understand. But we want to lift up those families that have been touched by tragedy. We pray that through this, you might work healing to draw them closer to you. Lord, we pray for Chris's heart surgery. Pray that you might give the doctors skill. Give them awareness. Let them make good decisions. And Lord, we pray for his healing and positive outcome. Lord, too, we pray for Gilbert Lehman, who is injured in a hospital, and for Tim Nicholson as well. And Lord, we rejoice with Heidi's niece, the birth of the new baby boy. Lord, we pray that you'll gather him in close. No, he is very premature, Lord. We know the miracles that modern medicine can work, and even more so, miracles that you can work. And Lord, we rejoice and we pray for the children as they go off to camp this week. Keep them safe as they travel and as they play. And let this be a time for you to reach out and touch their hearts in a way that maybe they can't be touched in other places. Help them to be aware of your presence around them. Let camp be for them a special time, time of discovering their new aspects of their spirituality, new ways to look at the world. And Lord, we pray for blessings on the camp counselors and the teachers, that you might help them to have an enjoyable time, but also give them guidance as they help these young children along on their way to grow closer to you. Lord, we ask for blessings on all the fathers. Fathers that have passed, fathers that still are, fathers that are soon to be. Lord, as a father, I try to model myself after you and your son. Let us keep that goal always in mind. As the scripture we just read said, let us be patient. Let us not exasperate our children. Give us wisdom in dealing with them, raising them up, that they too might grow to be good parents and good Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon.
Mom,
Okay, well, look, I got this good snack thing for you to try. Woo, wait until you try. You'll be right.
For a second there, I was wondering who was supposed to give the sermon today, me or her. Our second scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. That's on page 195 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Can you guys hear me? I'm always a little... I can start hearing a little bit of feedback, and I was like, oh, I don't want to make a... If you can't hear me, just let me know. Here begins the reading. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The title of my sermon is World's Greatest Dad. We've all seen the mugs, t-shirts, and the Father's Day cards. It expresses a wonderful sentiment, and it's nice to think that if only for one day of the year, we can pretend that we are the greatest. But I'm not the world's greatest dad. I hope I'm doing better as time goes on and I get more practice. I make an effort, but like all parents, I know that there are ways that I can be better. Even as I was writing this last night, a call came down from Ruth that she needed a carrot snack before bed and then an apple and so on. Fatherhood is about striking the balance among providing help for her, providing opportunities for her to struggle and learn, and sometimes just getting some work done. But it's in these times that I start to see how God must look down on us, his children, and how he struggles to encourage us to learn and grow and to provide us help when we need it. And then also enduring our tantrums, staying up listening to us prattle and worry when we should be sleeping. He, of course, is the world's greatest dad. I'd like to spend a few minutes this morning talking about how the Father sees us as he looks down on us from heaven. Maybe draw some parallels between how we as parents deal with our children and how I think God tries to deal with us. First, I'd like us to adjust our perspective. I'm going to ask you to set aside the idea that you are a grown adult, knowledgeable and accomplished. Instead, try to take the perspective of a young child. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So for a few minutes, let's take Jesus at his word and come to God as a little child. We can recognize that from God's perspectives, we are all still children, still petulant, still confused, still in need of guidance, and still in need of correction. We may have long ago learned our ABCs and algebra, and even had children and grandchildren, and that does place some developmental distance between us and a preschooler. But our developmental distance from us to the Father is immeasurably larger. He created our universe, our world, and each one of us. I don't think that any of us has created a universe lately, not even a scaled down plastic one. Clearly, we all have a long way to go. So cast your mind to a place where you are a child looking up to a parent God, to a time when you didn't have it all figured out, a time when it was okay to learn and change, and when not knowing was not cause for embarrassment. And from that perspective, I'd like us to take some of our Heavenly Father's advice and cast it into modern day terms. First, we might look to Romans, where it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Or Jesus' words from the book of Matthew, and from our Easter cantata, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you." Or as I might tell Ruth, "You can't just push Dominic because he called you a baby." How often do we ignore this fatherly advice to love? Think right now of someone you can't stand. Someone who really rubs you the wrong way. Did it take you long to come up with the name or face? Or did it pop right into your head? Does God the Father look down on our disquieted spirits and our strained relationships the same way we look upon two children fighting over a toy? Of course, he knows these things are deeply important to us, even if they are unimportant in his cosmic way of looking at things. Just as we know how deeply our children can have their feelings hurt over simple, even trivial conflicts. He loves us, but I think he wishes that we shared his grander perspective, that this discord doesn't matter, and what is truly important is that we embrace each other as siblings, despite whatever differences we have. Another bit of fatherly wisdom comes from the book of Timothy, where it says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." study, learn. Never lose that sense of wonder. The bigger and more intricate our view of the world becomes, the smaller our problems seem. We send our children off to school or preschool or Sunday school so they may learn. But too often, I fear we don't send ourselves off to do the same. Studies show that the most content people are those who are lifelong learners. Learning new things keeps our brains active and engaged. It drives our aspirations and imaginations and ultimately makes us appreciate our Creator and Father all the more. I personally love to learn, and I am doing my best to instill the same in Ruth. Einstein has been quoted as saying, only two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the former. He's pretty convinced that human stupidity was infinite. That, of course, can be read as an insult to the unlearned, but I honestly think that it is both a truth and a blessing. That means there will always be more for us to learn about the universe, about ourselves personally and as a community, and about our God. It is a useful thought experiment to think, what will you do with eternity? What will our day-to-day in heaven be like? It can be hard to nail down particulars because our understanding of existence is really limited just by what we experience. We can't know the details, but I do know that I will spend my time learning. I pray that sense of wonder and enthusiasm for discovery stays with Ruth and with me and with all of us. There's another truth I'd like to talk about. You are what you eat. We use that phrase as fathers to try to explain to our children why they cannot have M&Ms and popsicles for dinner. But underneath it lies a greater truth beyond just nutrition. We become what we consume, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Our Heavenly Father has a lot of wisdom to offer here. From Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And from Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I think our Father looks down from heaven and is likely appalled by our diet. Five Guys, wonderfully perfect, but horribly unhealthy hamburgers, way, way too much coffee, and of course the ice cream and the cheesecake. But also the gossip and the ugliness that masquerades as news and the debauchery that's pretending to be entertainment. Celebrations of humankind's worst traits. I think our Father would love to reach down and take away our M&Ms and our popsicles and give us some vegetables instead. And then change the TV channel and watch Mr. Rogers with us. Final bit of fatherly wisdom this morning is an admonition. To Ruth, maybe it is, no, you cannot play with my circular saw. Those are Daddy's tools. In the Bible, we read, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." To the woman who stand accused and was nearly stoned to death, Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Or Jesus again in the book of Luke, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged." Vengeance, condemnation, and judgment are God's power tools. And whether we want to admit it or not, we are ill-equipped to handle them. I think he warns us away from them for the same reason we warn our children away, from a ledge or from a hot stove. It's not so much the damage we could do to others, but the damage we might do to ourselves. Of course, our response may mirror those of a child's. We may nod in agreement while being watched, and then sneak back to try them out when we think no one's watching. And I understand why. In our view, there are things that need fixing. And there sit the tools to do it. Can we not wield a little condemnation to do a little good and show that errant soul a thing or two? Can we not judge those with whom we disagree, who are just so clearly wrong? And to that God says, no, you can't. It's hard to hear, honestly, but there are things that we are not yet grown up enough to do. It's hard for our children to hear as well. We're warned away for a good reason, just as they are. Fixing people may seem as simple as trimming back a hedge. Just cut that away, this way, and they'll be just fine. But God says you can't safely trim away overgrown branches without damaging the trunk. Fixing people may look easy, but it isn't. Judging others may seem easy, but it opens us up to be judged ourselves. And that way lies hypocrisy, anger, and the exact opposite of where we started, love. The only tool that we have in our toolbox is love. And we need to leave our Father's other tools alone. So on this Father's Day, I would like us to try to carry this childish perspective with us. Maybe we can come to a greater understanding of how much our Father loves us, and why he does things the way that he does. Why he warns us off dangerous ways of thinking, and why he encourages us to love one another unconditionally, just as he loves us. Happy Father's Day. The community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 254 in the brown hymnal near the cross. We'll sing verses 1 and 2.
Good morning. For the last I don't know, last couple of weeks I've been thinking a lot about what it means for our Christian witness. And I've been reading things in the upper room and just coming in contact with people and how our roles as a witness changes as we go through our lives. As Mike referenced this morning, I think children witness to us in so many profound ways. And sometimes we do need to be a lot more childlike, if not all the time, and receive that wisdom. But I wanted to share with you a special kind of witness that's a kind of a personal kind for me. It's about my sister-in-law, Mary Ann. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells us that he told his apostles, and therefore us, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Now, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture, but as I said, lately, I've just been thinking that people do witness in many different ways. And I'm sure if Mary Ann were sitting in the church this morning, A, she'd probably go, "Jang," and B, she'd be very, very surprised that I'm talking about her. But just a little background, Mary Ann is 6 years my senior, and she's had a lot of health problems. As a matter of fact, a year ago, May, we thought we would lose her. Unfortunately, her health problems have caused her to need 24-hour care. So that even though she very, very much wants to be at home, and very much against her wishes, she had to move into a personal care home. She's no longer able to live independently. And that's been very difficult for her. For a lot of us here, we can appreciate being in your upper 60s. That's a very daunting thought, that you could not be independent. And for someone like Mary Ann, she loved to cook. She was a wonderful housekeeper. She loved to be with her family. She did homework with her granddaughter after school every day. There were so many things that now she's not able to do. And in addition to that, even though she does see her family often, and we all make a very definite effort to visit her, spend time with her, she has also lost most of her privacy and a lot of her dignity. And I think that we could all appreciate that that might make her feel very angry. At a relatively young age, she could be angry and bitter about the circumstances that are totally out of her control. And I have seen her upset at times. I've seen her to be a little demanding, a little willful, and she wants to go home and she wants to live the life that she had before all of this happened to her. But yet, more often than not, I have also witnessed her do the absolute most wonderful things. She has such a kind heart, and she's always looking after her fellow residents. And she just helps them in just a myriad of small ways, whether it's getting the TV remote for them or telling the nurse they need a drink of water. Sometimes I think the nurses don't always appreciate that, but she's always looking after them. She loves to laugh. She still makes jokes. She likes to talk to people, and she likes to welcome people when they come in the home. She readily shares things, whether it's the adult coloring books or the magazines or whatever she has. She's always willing to share. Another thing that is such a witness to me about Mary Ann is she's absolutely determined to still be as independent as possible. She pulls that oxygen tank outside with her so that she can lay out in the sun and work on her tan. I thought that was wonderful. She had her daughter buy her a bathing suit because she was going to work on her tan. And she does. She walks as much as possible, and most of the time, she does not want to use the walker. She keeps track of how everyone in her circle is doing, whether it's her family's children, grandchildren, and she keeps track of them, and she remembers that, because when I go the next time, she'll ask me how somebody in my family's doing, or whatever happened with this. She's always ready to go somewhere to get her hair done, to eat out, or go over to her daughter's house and just watch movies with her grandchildren and snuggle. And she goes to church weekly. Her faith is strong, even in the face of losing what she is most, but not all, most of what she has held dear. So when I visit with her, it's always a pleasure. And I leave her feeling sad that she can't be home and be independent. But mostly, I feel amazed to be in the presence of one who could be bitter and angry and lash out at God and those around her. And yet, most of the time, she chooses to enjoy all that she can and be as kind as she can. As a matter of fact, recently I took Mary Ann to lunch and she told me this. She said, "You know, Jane," she said, "since God did not let me die when I was so very ill a year ago, I think he must want me to be here to help these people that I'm living with." Her grace was amazing to me. Her grace is not only God's presence within her, but it is a gift to all of those that she comes in contact with. What a witness. Now we'll have our prayer. Deb Davis.
Father, I thank you once again for meeting us here at this communion table as we partake of the bread and the cup. And Father, it is Father's Day, and I thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Day in, day out, we place our burdens upon you. And yet, Lord, when we make mistakes, you're there to forgive us. You're the first one there to forgive us. Sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves, but you're always forgiving us. And Father, today I pray especially for our earthly fathers. They have an uphill battle. They face tough decisions day in and day out. And Father, I just pray that they will spread their Christian values to the members of their family and to their co-workers. Lord, I do pray for every father in this congregation, in this city, in this nation. And I don't think there's a time that has been that we need Christian fathers now more than ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Now when they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
The community responds to the word of God. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing in the Brown Hymnal, number 266, Nothing But the Blood, again, verses 1 and 2. Please stand. Father, gather your children together. Teach us to live peacefully with one another. And as fathers, Lord, help us to lead our children in the ways that you would have them go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.